You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sam and Greg with you into our 7 o'clock hour. So glad you're with us on this very special weekend. We talk about the Dogwood Festival happening here in town and down the road at Augusta to get set for moving day.
176 years of tradition going on in this city.
Not in the city, but in the state.
I mean, in the state, North Georgia.
Yeah.
Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning to you folks in Suwanee.
We're
heading to 7 o'clock hour.
Yeah. Glad they're here up in North Gwinnett.
Exactly. On this Saturday morning. And thank you again for letting us be a part of your Saturday and Sunday mornings. We'll be back tomorrow getting ready for Atlanta United.
And we're here until 10 today.
On. Yeah. Oh, we got That's our first four-hour Saturday show.
We've been having to leave at 8 o'clock the last few weeks.
Which, I'll be honest, which ain't been bad.
Okay.
We beat the guy out there handing out tickets. Get off the road and all of that. We are efforting our guests. I wanted to,
Because today is spring football. Our spring football is happening. Obviously, 92.9 The Game is going to be, I think, at Grindhouse Burgers in Athens.
Yep.
Going to be broadcasting live from over there today when we're done at 10 o'clock as they get set for the Georgia spring football game at 1 o'clock.
I'm looking at this right now.
Okay, go ahead.
Chris Thomas.
Oh, man.
Chris going to be out there.
Okay.
He's going to be out there until 2.
You ought to send us some burgers. Send us some burgers,
It'll
man.
It'll be cold by the time we get here. We'll go down the street and get one ourselves.
All right. Yeah. But anyway, that's happening. If you headed over to Athens today, stop by, say hello. And then, of course, at 1 o'clock at the exact same time, here down the street and around the corner, Georgia Tech's going to play their Golden White game. And so, I mean, two teams are doing different things. Obviously, at Georgia, you're coming off a season that was fantastic season, but the disappointing end to lose at Alabama in the SEC championship game and be left out of the playoff. So you have a number of positions that have to be filled. First of all, the targets you're going to have as receivers. The two favorite targets are going to be gone to the next level. Brock Bowers and McConkey are both going to be gone. So Ladd McConkey. So yeah, that's you're watching there. Meanwhile, over at Tech, you're watching to see just how they're going to maintain and build from last season. I mean, having a winning season, having going to a bowl game again, first time in forever, and winning. How do you build from that? They've had a really good recruiting class that has come in over on North Avenue. They've been working, and they just want to pick up where they left off. Remember, their first assignment is they got to go across the pond, if you will. They got to play in Dublin, Ireland, and kicking off their season against Florida State. A long way to go for your first game.
But it's a nice place to go.
You think so?
Yeah, have yourself a wonderful time over there. I would.
You think?
You lift a couple of pints.
They're not going to lift the pints.
I believe they will.
They're going to play Florida State.
They'll lift a pint or two, Mr. Crenshaw.
They're going to play Florida State, man. They're going to play the victory. And play some ball.
Down to the pub for a pint. What they better do.
So, and people are looking for some spring football today. Also, Morehouse is playing their spring game today at 3 o'clock. Campus, and they've been getting ready to play that with new head coach Terrence Mathis over there, too. We're hoping to catch up with him this morning and just get his thoughts as he's gone through practices, getting team together. And my goodness, I had a chance to go to the Georgia State spring game, which is yesterday. Different vibe, man. Different feel.
Why is that?
Coach Dale McGee has come in and just a different vibe with the team program. Had some nice music. Pastor Troy did halftime, entertainment for the crowd there. So,
isn't that kind of what you want, though? I mean, is that something that maybe
it's plugging into the city a little more. You know what I mean? It's plugging into the city a little more. So it was great, you know, to see that. You know, talk about a coaching staff that had to be put together on the fly, but someone else has had to do that as well. You know, over at Morehouse, and you know, you say, man, a disadvantage to come in a situation like that, but Terrence Mathis, friend of the show and former Falcons standout, has taken on the challenge of coaching the Maroon Tigers over at Morehouse, and he joins us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Coach, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We are doing fine. I just think about last time I saw Terrence.
Okay.
You know where it was?
Where?
I believe it was walking the pits out of Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Yeah, Ben.
Oh, wow.
Last time I saw you, man.
A long time ago. Yeah.
Seen him a while. Seen him
a dipped
while.
His toe into that world and had, you know. But we'll talk NASCAR with you another time. Let's talk football right now.
Yeah, we're talking with you because you guys got show and tell today at 3 o'clock. Well, it is. And what you know, what has it been like for you to take on that level? You've been a part of a coaching staff at the collegiate level, but to take on this particular program at this time?
You know, first of all, it's been a blessing. It's been truly a blessing. The amount of support that I've received from the top, from the president to the student body has been just phenomenal. And the student athletes has been incredible, man. They have bought in. They're hungry. And it's been just a great experience. You know, we one thing that we don't do around there is talk about the past. We talk about everything new. And everything we do is uncommon. So we're trying to make them feel comfortable being uncommon and just being different. We do things different. You know, we hit the field and we're off the field in 90 minutes. We go in fast. You know, my coaching staff has learned to teach on the run instead of doing a whole lot of talking and standing around. So the energy has been phenomenal and just, I'm expecting, you know, of course you would like to have a full house, but we're expecting a good group of people, parents, friends, student body, Spelman, student body and alum, and Morehouse football alums. It's just going to be an amazing atmosphere.
Terrence Mathis joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Not talking about the past so much, but when you think about when you were a student back then as opposed to now, talking to these students, coaching these students, bringing them up, what are some of the challenges as you have tried to connect with them that maybe has been kind of funny to you, but something that you have jumped in with both feet?
Well, I've been preparing myself for this opportunity for the last 12 years to be a head football coach on a collegiate level. And then I have children that are 22 and 25 years old. So you see the challenges that they've gone through and been through. The transition to other young people is pretty much the same. You know, it's pretty much taking on your own kids. And the challenges probably is it didn't take long for them to buy in because they've seen a head coach do what he has asked them to do and can still do as far as working out, running, demonstrating, all those things. And my energy has just been the same every single day. And then we talk about being plugged into each other to get energy source from each other. And when one guy is down and not practicing as hard and something's going in, we go over and talk. And then we try to plug into him to get his energy up and vice versa. They do it for me sometimes. So we just become this uncommon entity. And we always talk about being one body, talking the same language, riding the same lane, going the same speed at the same time. And we're almost there, you know, because we have 75 kids out to spring football, which I've heard has never happened. And then we're going to have another 30 or so young men coming in for the fall. So this is uncommon in this arena, and it's just been amazing.
Yeah, folks, spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Former Falcons standout Terrence Mathis, pride of Reed and High School. joining us now later today, Morehouse Tigers, where he's now the new head coach, will be playing the spring game at 3 o'clock. If you want to follow them, they are social. You can find them on Twitter at Morehouse FB, at Morehouse FB. You see a lot of pictures. This is a picture of Bob Whitfield.
Bob Whitfield is my offensive line coach.
There you go.
You got Big Bob over there, man. My goodness. How tough or how easy was it to get him to get on board with you?
It wasn't hard at all. He's coached with me on the high school level before, so it wasn't hard. We've been talking about this thing for years, being together, whatsoever. See, what the thing is that if we can show them championship pedigree, if we can show them professionalism, how things are supposed to look, how things are supposed to sound, how things are supposed to smell, boy, it's just contagious. And that's what we're trying to do. You know, we're attention to details, being mentors, being teachers in everything that we do. And everyone around him, my door is always open. It's never closed. When I say, you know, a lot of coaches say, I have open door policy, but you got to knock on their door or go through a secretary to get to them.
Yeah.
You know, my door's open. You just walk right in. People walk right into my office. Players, parents, students, whoever, walk right into my office. And I greet them and sit down and talk to them. I put down whatever I'm doing. And I speak to everyone. I walk the campus. I eat in the cafeteria. I do all these things because I don't want them to think that, oh, he's some former NFL player and he thinks, no. I'm part of this culture now. And I want you to see that I have bought in. So now I want you to buy into what we're doing. And it's working. It's really working.
I got to ask you, what is it like being a part of, you know, because in recent years there's been a lot more of attention focused on HBCU athletics. And to be able to do that here in a place where people know you, your brand is known from what you've done growing up in this community and also playing professionally and living in this community. It means more to you to be a part of it. But talk about being in the plug into that with the attention that is devoted now, with more games being streamed, more games being televised, just more exposure in general.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, being at Morehouse, you got to think about it. The most prestigious HBCU in the country, in the world. Think about it. When you go anywhere, you say Morehouse, you equate it with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you're talking about Ralph Warnock, you're talking about Maynard Jackson, you're talking about Samuel Jackson, you're talking about Spike Lee, you're talking about all these Benjamin E. Mays, you're talking about all these people who have just graced themselves on this campus. That's the first thing. And to be able to help these young men become professionals at something and to help build the Morehouse man is phenomenal too. But with the other thing, yes, it's been amazing how HBCU sports has grown over the last few years. And one thing I said to these young men is, it's not about me. I've had the spotlight. I've done this and I've done that and I got the awards and all these things. It's about you. How can we build you up where you can get the spotlight so you can be leave here and become something special and give back to your college. So it's been amazing. You know, as you know me, Sam, I am the same all the time. I don't get too high and too low, especially when it comes to the exposure part of it. I understand it. You know, when you're doing well, everybody loves you. When you're doing bad, they talk bad about you.
So I
get that. And so it doesn't bother me whatsoever. So but we're trying to teach them how to overcome some of the pitfalls that they may see. And biggest thing, guys, we're trying to win them all. We're trying to win all 10. It's not like, you know, when a new coach comes in, well, I got to build my culture and they got to bring the right guys in here. We're going to do, you know, in the next couple of years. No. Tell the truth. If you're not trying to win right now, you shouldn't be coaching. That's honest.
Yes.
And when you speak words like that, you put your team in a bind because it's telling them that, well, it's okay to be average. You see what I'm saying? I'm not going to talk to them like that. I told them I'm going to be always honest with you. We're trying to win every single game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're doing. And seeds have been planted this spring, and they're going to show you what they've been doing today at 3:00 over at Morehouse College. Go there and check out the spring game, see what's happening, and see what seeds have been planted as they get set for the fall. First fall under Coach Terrence Mathis. Coach, we appreciate you getting up and spending some time with
us, Coach,
this morning. All right.
Thank you. One thing, you know, it's going to be an afternoon house party.
Okay.
If you have never seen the house party movies, go watch them. And this is House Party 4 right here.
Okay.
This is House Party 4. We about to go rock the house.
Oh,
all
man.
Right.
He got me doing a shout-out to Robin Harris.
That's right.
All
thank you, guys.
Appreciate
thanks
it, Harris.
A lot, Coach.
All right, there you go.
All right, man.
Chris Mathis. Yeah, walking the pits at Land Motor Speedway and not on the sidelines, walking the sideline. I wanted to give him a chance to talk about some of his coaches, but when he said Bob Whitfield,
But you know what, though?
It makes
those
sense.
Folks are going to learn a lot. Those
yes, they
learn
are.
A lot from him. We'll learn a lot from him. And people, you know, he's always joking and he, you know, he does that, but he's a brilliant dude, man. Everybody don't get to go to Stanford.
That's true.
You know?
It is Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning. It's the 13th day of April. Thank you again for letting us be a part of your weekend mornings. We got our 4 hours back on Saturday. We've had our 4 hours on Sunday, and we're just going to have some fun here. We're going to go into Noel's world in just a little bit. But, Sam,
yeah, man.
We got a Hall of Famer on the show.
Nice.
We got a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
A degreed Hall of Famer. I don't know if that's the best way to put it. Man's got himself a master's.
Man,
so
can do that now.
And a doctorate.
All them things. And we're glad he's here.
Dr. Larry, and forgive me, doctor, Dr. Larry Malley, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, Malley.
Malley. And thank you for joining us this morning. You have got a big event coming up here in Atlanta.
Yes, in fact, we've been here since Thursday. We're having the Collegiate Nationals for USA Powerlifting here.
Exactly, where is that taking place? Because I know here in Atlanta, where are you guys holding it? Because it's going through tomorrow, right?
Right, it goes till tomorrow night, and we are at the Georgia International Convention Center, close to the airport. And we're in our third day, starting at 8 o'clock this morning. Over the 4 days, we'll have 1,300 lifters, both men and women, and 130 scoring teams. So,
Doctor, I'm sorry to interrupt you there. Doctor, we think we know everything there is to know about powerlifting, but tell us what we don't know. What will we see when we go out to this event, other than the obvious, having never been out to an event like this before?
Well, one of the most electric things about the Collegiate Nationals is the team aspect of it. Powerlifting is often an individual sport, but we have teams that come from colleges across the country, and they are really excited about their team participation. And so what you're going to see is them cheering each other on, cheering other teams on, interestingly enough. And it's very loud. The atmosphere is exciting. We have video walls that display each lift being done, and the music is a little bit like a rock concert. So it's not really what you would expect from a strength sport.
Spending time on the weight.com hotline this morning with Dr. Larry Malley. My goodness, you've been around this sport for a number of years, going back to the 70s. I dare say you didn't have music and video walls.
No, I didn't. No house parties.
When you started with this, right? You've seen this really grow and evolve.
Yeah, we have as our mission really to make powerlifting exciting. And you're right, I've been involved since the 70s. It wasn't so much then, and we want to engage the crowd, and we want to display the lifters really doing their best on the big screen. So we've evolved the sport.
Do people venture into this particular sport solely to be a power lifter, or do you get them from other sports? Because, again, I don't know much of how people go from one to the other. I'm thinking bodybuilding and then just lifting. How do you get the power lifters? Where do they come from, sir?
Well, a lot of them have been athletes in other sports. And so at the high school level, they often come from football and track and field. And in a number of states, powerlifting is a recognized school sport. But For adults, we really get them from the population of people who just go to the gym or who participate in CrossFit or some other activity like that. A variety of backgrounds. But one of the things that's interesting about powerlifting is that it's not necessarily a young person's sport. So we often get them young, but they stay a long time. And powerlifters really peak in their late 30s or early 40s if they're persistent.
Man, so it's something once you get involved with, you can...
Your body got to grow up. You got to be a grown man to do that, or woman.
You can grow along with it. That's the next thing I was going to mention to you, Dr. Maley. We talked a lot in recent days and weeks about the women's athletics, especially coming off of the NCAA basketball tournament. Thoughts about women and how they usually get involved in this sport, because you've been involved with it very much from the administrator and the coaching women's programs.
Yeah, powerlifting is made up of about one-third women. It's different, I think, than a lot of sports that are sort of male-focused, but one-third of our participation is women, and we recognize them at every level and offer opportunities at every level. And in fact, we have a pro series each year. It's three stops and has a finals, which historically has been at the Arnold Sports Festival, but we have categories and we pay the same basically for men and women. So we embrace the participation of women in terms of powerlifting and recognition.
It is the 2024 USA Powerlifting Collegiate Nationals taking place at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, right there on Camp Creek Parkway, right there by the airport.
Go ahead. Well, I wanted to know, where does the U.S. stand in powerlifting versus other countries around the world?
Well, as it started in the U.S., and really it lost a lot of participation really in the 70s and 80s, but the U.S. really is in front of powerlifting now internationally, and that's especially true if you look at the teenager and masters divisions, where we dominate the rest of the world. But in the open division, we're competitive in any given year. We're in the top one or two countries in the world.
Wow. Back to girls being a part of this, and I've seen, you know, girls participate in different sports. They may have started at one thing, but give, you know, something else. I know girls who throw, you know, in right. track and field, but some they come out of, like, they were cheerleaders. Right,
okay. Right. But, no, but, I get what you're saying.
But they got into it and they enjoyed it and they found that they can accomplish that type thing. Do you see a lot of that type thing, as weight training is really a part of practically every sport you participate
in? We do. And one of the reasons why you mentioned cheerleaders, and another area where we have participation are gymnasts and former gymnasts, because we have weight classes, and the smallest of the weight classes is 97 pounds for women. Going up to more than 220 pounds. So they really can find a place with us, you know, regardless of their size and their build.
Well, I'll just try and ask Sam. I was trying to see, with the Olympics right around the corner, we got to talk to you about this particular sport and its participation within the Olympics.
We've sought participation for years in the Olympics. We're different than weightlifting. And so we're a world game sport and not an Olympic sport. But interestingly enough, we probably are more popular than weightlifting, with the exception of during Olympic years. And part of the reason is that we get exposure in the United States, and we have success in the United States more so in powerlifting than in weightlifting.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline, talking with Dr. Larry Maley, and this tour that is going to talk about this tour, because every week
these guys are everywhere, man.
You know what? And so people have an opportunity to see how much is it people traveling to making the different stops. Do they pick certain stops that they're going to? And like this one, is a big event. I would imagine it's the Nationals, so people come from all over. But every week, You guys are at two or three different locations nationally.
Well, we have meets from the local level to the national and now international level, but we have 550 meets a year. And really our hope is to reach out to people wherever they are so they can and participate. We were just looking last night, and we have 9 competitions across the country this weekend, from sort of local gym kind of meets to larger meets. And next weekend there are 14. And as I said, we have 550 meets a year. So really, if you look at USA Powerlifting and go to the calendar, probably within a month you can find something close to you and jump in and have a look at it or participate if you're so inclined, and join USA Powerlifting and the fun, really.
It sounds like fun, but as I always say on this program, youth participation is the lifeblood of any sport. Talk about your young people to get involved. What's the age they usually begin if parents are listening today and they feel like it's something they may want to take a look at, they may want to come out and see it this weekend, and they have a child that's looking for a sport or an activity that they can gravitate to? What's the age that you start with?
We have a youth division, and it starts at 8 years of age. And so there are 3 divisions for youth, 8 and 9, 9 and or 10 and 11, and 12 and 13. And then it begins the teenage division. We have high school nationals. It actually was just last weekend in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and collegiate divisions as well. And then you go on to the open division. And for the older folks like me, unfortunately, we have master's divisions that start at 40, and our oldest competitor at the moment is 93.
Wow.
So you can jump in as a child, but if parents are looking to get their children involved, there are teenage competitions and high schools and on up.
If people want to come out and see you today, can they come out today and tomorrow and just watch?
Absolutely. The spectator fee for the nationals is $20 a day. We have three sessions a day today, 2 tomorrow, and the lifting actually starts at 8 o'clock this morning. We probably will finish up by 10 o'clock tonight, maybe. So it will run all day.
I hadn't thought about it. I've just got these pictures that are running through my mind, man.
Yeah,
so I want to recap here in another day or so what this was like. And I'm also trying to picture an 8-year-old with weights.
Yeah.
What's the most that an 8-year-old's lift?
They generally, we do 3 lifts, the squat, the bench press, and the deadlift. But they generally are squatting and deadlifting about their weight at 8 years of age, sometimes as much as 1.5 times. And benching, obviously, substantially less, but it's not uncommon to see an 8-year-old girl, for example, benching 35, 45 pounds.
Okay. My mind is just swirling. We're up against it here, but we wish nothing but success to this this tour that you have going on. You're like Beyonce here.
Yeah.
You get to their website and you see all these locations coming up. Doctor, can't thank you enough. And actually, opening my mind I never thought about powerlifting that much.
Yeah.
And then being at that event, watching that. And we buried the lead, Sam. I haven't even asked him what would be like a top weight for a competition that somebody would lift, men's and women's. Is that something you can tell us, or is that stay a secret until these guys get out there and perform?
No. In terms of the heaviest men's category this weekend, we have at least one person we think will squat 1,000. We expect a woman to squat in a neighborhood of 600 pounds this weekend.
And Sam is cringing over here. We're just hearing that.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. Folks, it is the 2024 USA Powerlifting Collegiate Nationals taking place at the Georgia International Convention Center. They're going to get started at the top of the hour.
Thank you, Doctor.
Yep, thank you.
All right, Dr. Larry, I'm going to get this right.
Dr.
Larry Maley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that dude's got to be in shape, too.
Oh, you know it.
You don't mess with nobody that's a part of this event. That's going to be a big mistake for somebody who thinks, he just looks kind of nerdy.
No,
you know,
he's still competing, man. Hey, That's great. You got somebody in their 90s out there.
Get the 8-year-old and a 9-year-old. Both of them. Whoop you.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know the story? Do you know? You ever heard of Johnny Spampinato?
Who?
Or Johnny? Yeah, Johnny Spampinato.
Have not.
Oh, I got a story. Well, it's an old story. It's a classic story, but it was unearthed this past week with somebody who you actually like really, really well. I'll tell that during casting call, but we're going to venture into Noel's world next.
Up next.
It's Sam and Greg Sports Radio, 92.9 again, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio, 92.9thegame, 92.9thegame.com, and it's Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning. Mr. Crenshaw's shoulders are popping up and down. He's moving over here dancing. We're enjoying the music. It must mean it's time for Noel's world.
Oh, yeah.
13th day of April. Just want to remind you, coming up top of the hour, we have got the latest They Got Next. 13-year-old Christian Holmes will be joining us.
I can't wait for this guy. man.
And we will explain what They Got Next is if you don't know our latest and just growing like weeds feature here. But we turn things over to Noel. Good morning.
Morning.
I got to move this thing around so
good
I can see her again.
Morning.
Hey.
A lot of great interviews this morning. Oh, man, I got a lot to follow up on this morning. We had the great legendary Terrence Mathis on here. We learned all about powerlifting.
Yep.
And now I want to give out some flowers today.
Do you now?
I want to give out some roses today. That's all I want to do.
Check you out.
What'd she say? I didn't hear it because I hadn't.
She's going to give out some flowers. She's giving out some flowers.
Oh, yeah.
Some roses.
She said that earlier.
Because, you know, to peel the curtain back behind the scenes, you know, me, Sam, and Greg was talking earlier today, and Sam was talking about how some people feel that South Carolina hasn't gotten their flowers.
A lot of people.
And I don't necessarily know if I agree, but I'm here right now to give it to them.
Do you feel like they haven't?
I feel like they haven't, but I feel like I understand the reasons why. I feel like the media just ran with what they considered to be the bigger story. Because in my opinion, if you looked at the tea leaves of the landscape of the NCAA tournament, everybody was competing to try to beat Dawn Staley's Gamecocks. That's how the landscape looked to me.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, Iowa and LSU and all of that's fun, but they're fighting to go compete against South Carolina. And I don't think a lot of people really understood what was going on there. And when it went the way that it went, I think, you know, it kind of took some air out of the bag because that wasn't what people were looking for. It was what I was looking for, but it wasn't what people were looking for. The grand hoopla and the pomp and circumstances, you know, when you hear the name Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese so much, I think a lot of people were just expecting that to be kind of an in-game situation. You know, not seeing cool Dawn Staley and her Gamecocks over there. Just waiting in the wings. Just waiting. Y'all can have all the attention in the cameras. It's cool.
You know what the best part for me was about all of that was not what she said at the end of her speech about Caitlin. It was the beginning when they first brought her up to do the interview. And it's something when you see somebody who's made, or at least you have the perception, they're as hard as rock, made of barbed wire and all of that. And we know her Philly background that she comes from. I mean, her and Allen Iverson could have came from the same hospital, you know what I mean? And you know that intestinal fortitude that those people have shown us throughout their public life. And for her to be touched the way she was and break down, I ain't never seen Dawn. I mean, show emotion like an athlete, aggressively and focus. But that was the first time I'd seen her that emotional.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm going to take from everything that she said, including what she did at the end with Caitlin. That beginning of that, for me, is what will stay with me. And that was something new I hadn't seen from Dawn Staley and welcomed it with open arms.
Yeah,
and I think it's important. I think that's also an important piece of the growth in women's sports, not just in basketball, but in general, but to see how much they love it. And to your point, we see it in the aggressive, competitive way, but to really see like how much they live, breathe, and eat it, like how much they genuinely love it. It's great to see.
It was. And just to put a tip on it, the same, I mentioned Iverson. When he broke down during his Hall of Fame speech, it was the same thing. Not broke down, but he had emotion throughout it. Hadn't seen that from Iverson. You know,
you usually only see that with Iverson when you have sit downs with Iverson. Like if it's like, you know, on the court or, you know, a presser or whatever, you know, you to your point, you're going to get the athlete persona. But if you actually like have a sit down with Iverson and let him talk, oh, that man's so emotional in a good way.
And it depends on who you bring up. You bring up John Thompson.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
John Thompson saved
him. Crying a minute.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. You also want to give shout out to some of our home folks that were on this team.
That's exactly where we was going. We was going with Raven Johnson.
I'm sorry, we got to shut up. Let you. This is your world. Go ahead.
Doing her thing. That's exactly what we're going. We handing out roses together. Raven Johnson from Westlake did the thing on Caitlin Clark. Made herself a little name out there. She went from the wave off last year to shutting it down this year. That is growth. That's what we call in television character development. Shout out to Raven Johnson. Shout out to Sanaya Fegan. Am I saying that right? Yep. Sanaya Fegan from my part of town, Ellenwood, Georgia, from Nuckeview, Buckville.
There you go.
I see why she wasn't at Cedar Grove or MLK, because she too good to be there. She was where she needed to be at.
Forest Park
to get to that next level, to see them championships. Shout out to them. But to move on from NCAA basketball, and shout out to Dan Hurley too. He had himself a time the other day. You can tell he really enjoys being Dan Hurley right now.
He said my home folks. She had Stephon Castle out there from Newton out in Covington.
Yes.
On the team. So I always tell people, you want to see our basketball players, watch March Madness. They'll be playing for teams
from
other states.
Plenty of them.
They won't be playing for teams around. That's just the way it shakes out, man. Go ahead.
I'm going to give Matt Ryan some flowers. Y'all want to know why I'm giving Matt Ryan roses?
I absolutely do.
Because Matt Ryan took his career and went on about his business. Now, why am I bringing that up? Let's talk about Cameron Newton. Cam Newton on Club Shay Shay feels like the Falcons should have packaged all the money that they gave to Kirk Cousins to win the division and give it to him, Michael Vick. Michael Vick.
Michael Vick now?
Michael Vick now.
He's saying now. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's saying we could have had him, Michael Vick, we could have had Justin Fields, and we could have traded for Lamar Jackson. And we'd rather give all that money to Kirk Cousins with no Achilles. And I'm going to say to Cam, make peace with your career. It was a really, really good one. It was.
Yeah.
But it's not the Atlanta Falcons' job to give you a redemption story. You had one in New England. You had one in Carolina.
You had
some nice touchdowns. You did what you did with it. And now we've moved on. It's not the Falcons' job to give you a redemption story or to show that you still got it. I understand that you feel like you're not washed. Some people feel like Matt Ryan wasn't washed. But you know what we saw in Indiana? Nothing that was positive. So you know what Matt Ryan is now? In a booth somewhere in the field.
Yep.
Somebody with a similar resume, an MVP appearance, a Super Bowl appearance, some great seasons, an all-pro year. Somebody with your same resume got the same goodbye you did unceremoniously because they didn't feel like you can help anybody anymore. It's okay. You had a great career. Let's make peace with that and move on. All right. I'm going to give Trae Young some roses for coming back off an injury and looking pretty good. Sitting him in the fourth quarter, I understand why we did it. Didn't look great. We got some losses. But he himself hit some pretty nice shots, doing some things that Trae Young does. Let's see what that does in the play-in. I don't know, just trying to be positive here.
I saw him play. It looked like he's playing more off the ball.
Yeah, a little
bit.
And
maybe having the time to watch may have helped with that some.
Yeah, I think he really
wants. What do you
mean,
maybe? That's what they all say. When they come back after sitting for a while, they learn different aspects of the game that they couldn't see while they were out there playing.
That's what DeAndre Hunter said, too. Yeah. And we saw how he came back, you know, looking like a better
fit. How long will it continue? That's the question.
That is the question, and we won't really get to see a whole lot of that because we got, at max, three more games? At max right now on paper?
Where it's looking.
Unless they, conjure up something
else. They played well last night.
They played as well as they could
considering who's there and who's not. And I got to tip my cap to the who've been able to plug in and have really went out there and played.
Did some things last night. Kobe's been doing some things for a while.
He's been playing some great defense.
Kobe's looking like a little two-way guard right now.
Yeah, he is. You know, so those are good things. You still know the people that you're missing that you would really need if you want to make any noise in this. And you know that for the play-in, you're not going to have Okongwu. You're not going to have Jalen Johnson, either one of those guys.
That's going to hurt.
That will really hurt the efforts. But what do you think about Trey's beard?
I like it.
You like the beard?
Yeah. You know, his look has been maturing. Trey is one of those guys where you can really see, the maturation in his voice and like on his face from rookie year to now. Like, he's one of some guys that come in and they just look like grown men, and that's what it is. But with Trey, you really see, like, his physical match interesting. I kind of like it.
Called the Greg Odom effect.
And I want to give probably three more roses, and then we're gonna move on from the segment. There are only three about to be graduates from the University of West Georgia from the sports media department. Uh-oh. Shout out to Wolf Sports. We got Brendan Wellerby Ray and Gianna Wilk be graduating very, very soon.
Congratulations.
They are the next crop of Atlanta media lead. I'm telling you, I was there with them.
They're there next. They're what's next?
West Georgia are doing some things. They are a huge part of it, of West Georgia's media program, especially the sports. They cover it all out there on the campus in the little world, and now they're about to be released into the big pond.
There you go.
To do some things. So they will do some great things. And those are my roses for today, ladies and gentlemen.
I do believe spring game is next week down there. I think spring game is next weekend. Their first spring game as a Division I program.
Ooh, I know.
Yeah?
I'm about to get down there and get some sound.
How about that? It's next week.
You know, I forgot to mention something when we were talking UConn, just a little bit.
Yeah.
I have slept on this, but say, I'm a proud Husky.
Are you now?
Yes, I am. I'm a proud Husky. I should have poked my chest out earlier when we were talking about that, and I've left that dormant during this whole conversation.
Why
my high school team was the Huskies. So I'm a proud Husky. I didn't graduate from college. I went to college, but I never graduated, so I don't have that connection with another mascot. So my only mascot from a educational institution.
So you claiming them? You claiming who? Washington? Too?
No, I'm claiming the
you
one that.
You don't want so to Washington.
When Washington wins, Washington I'll claim them. I'll claim
Andy
them.
Bunker would be mortified.
Andy was off this week. I saw Abe up here. With Randy.
You know, man.
One got nothing. Listen, you leave me Washington and go have a conversation with Bulldog fans and see if they want to talk about Mississippi State or whatever the other many Bulldog schools there are.
There are a lot of them.
Yeah, there are. So I got to claim one Husky right now. As far as I'm claiming, you know, UConn.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, Oak Park River Forest High School. We were the Huskies.
Nice. Y'all have a mascot? You have a live mascot? Nobody brought a live?
There was a dude in some matted down, supposed to be a furry.
Oh, y'all couldn't find a real Husky dog?
Yeah, they did have one. Yeah. They did have one. And people actually had a farm that, you know, every year the school, you know, they'd bring it out for a game against Proviso East, you know, when Doc and them boys would show up.
Yeah.
Or we'd go into the city and play a game.
Yeah.
Isaiah and them. Except Isaiah was on basketball. I forgot something I was going to bring up. We were up against it. But listen, we have the feature. Are you excited about what's coming up next?
Yep.
It is coming up next. We have had to sit on this for, I sound like I'm from Fargo. a handful of weeks during the NCAA tournament. But we have got a brand new, fresh participant this morning. We're going to talk to 13-year-old Christian Holmes, and wait to find out who his daddy is. Mm-hmm. If you've been listening to this station since it went on the air, you've heard him before, but they got next. We're going to explain what it is for those of you who don't know about it, and then today's participant. Looking forward to it. That is up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.